So some podcasts I listen to that I like to listen to, sometimes they do some like impromptu talking before their actual podcast, as if you're like catching them off guard while they're in their Skype conversation. Do you listen to anything like that?
I do, but I was going to say what it was, but you wouldn't get it because it's a hockey podcast.
Which one?
Merrick versus Wyshynski.
Ah, your boy Merrick.
Jeff Merrick, the best.
Yeah, so then they're just, casually talking, and then for some no particular reason, they have a transition, and then suddenly some loud music plays that just disrupts everything.
They don't use Levelator. It's terrible.
It's terrible. It just doesn't make any sense at all. It would be cool if we had that kind of podcast technology. Welcome to Como Se Sas, season two, season three,
Season three.
part two. We got like
That's right.
we got renewed, we got picked up for some more episodes. It was on the edge for a while, but then things happened and it worked out. Might be the final season, you never know. We're back here in our home base of Holiday Inn Reforma in Mexico City. I'm here with Rob Viper.
Hi, how's it going, everybody? And speaking of renewals, I've got some exclusive news for this podcast. Dramatic silence. No, I'm just fucking with you all.
That should have been the cold open.
That should have been
We
the
should have
cold
said,
open.
here's the real story about Legend Underground, and
Yeah.
bam, put the music. Maybe you're gonna hear that in a future day if I remember to add this out. We're taping this on Wednesday. It's the 16th of September. We're actually taping it on the same day we went to a show, because it's only by the time we finish this, it's gonna be Thursday. But
Happy Independence Day, Cubs.
happy Independence Day to you. We
Thank
did not
you.
show off any fireworks. It was just
Nope.
kind of, we missed off. We did see someone's a mask on fire, which was kind of cool, but that's a whole different thing.
Did we?
Epidemus, that smoking thing he had.
Oh, that's what was the caused all the smoke. I thought it was like pyro gone
No,
wrong.
no. Well, you may have thought you saw something go wrong in the Carter Lucha show, because that happened once or twice. We went to the Carter Lucha show in Arena San Juan today. That was the only show, the first show we've seen. We've been here since Tuesday, but we just kind of goofed around on Tuesday.
This was the first time, because even when you showed up Friday last month, there was a Friday Rain in Mexico show. So this is the first time out of the four trips that I've done. Cubs are on your fourth also. The four trips where the first day we arrived, there was not a single show. It felt so weird to me, at least.
Yeah, it was very unusual because of the holiday. Most of the shows that any show that might happen on Tuesday got moved to Wednesday.
Except Guadalajara.
Except Guadalajara, for reasons no one understands. And we weren't going to take a bus out to Guadalajara,
No, not for that
even though we really wanted to see Metallica win, and he did. Count the ums. So we went to Black Terry's house instead, and we hang out, and his mom gave us so much food as usual, and they were very nice to us as usual.
And we met another Lucha fan on our
Yeah.
travels.
Arisa.
Arisa.
Yeah.
She's from Japan.
She's on Twitter, but her account's protected. But I know I've seen her post stuff before, especially during Fantastic Mania,
The
so.
name rings a bell.
Yeah.
She's on vacation here for three. I'm only here for 2 weeks. She's here for
In
3 weeks,
3 weeks, yeah.
and she's got better seats than us for all the
Yeah.
shows. Anniversary, she's gonna be sitting front row.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. She's got better connections than we do.
Us poor peons, we only got second row.
But the show we went to today, we had first row. We saw Carlucha. It was supposed to be the LA Park versus Pagano versus Rush show. And what's happened over the last couple of days is that all the indie promoters who had LA Park booked, had to, and CML guys booked, had to not book the CML guys. My first guess was that they had to choose, but it seems more like CML just pulled their guys. And that's kind of what the note outside the building implied, that mm-hmm. it wasn't even their decision to make the change. It says this is all CML. It's not a good situation for anyone. It's one of those things that makes people annoyed with CML. The fans let each other know what they felt about CML during that show, with very loud chants at times.
Especially after Park gave his speech.
Yeah.
So, before the main event, where he told them everything that happened, they went into a fuck CML chant.
Yeah. That's now his catchphrase, what he told the crowd. Yeah. And he was selling shirts with that phrase on the back of it.
Before they cut my mic, and then he holds out the microphone, and the whole crowd says, Chinga tu madre. It's kind of like Road Dogg used to do, or Billy Gunn used, and then he'd hold out the crowd, and they would say, suck it.
Yeah, it's also kind of like when Daniel Bryan got fired for choking the guy with a tie, that every indie show he went to, people wanted to do spots with a tie. So that he's going to say this phrase every single show, and then he's maybe not going to say anymore like he did tonight.
But what do you think about the, as long as we're talking about it, the supposed rumor that Park did this all intentionally because he wanted the attention. So he had it all planned out that he was going to get himself fired.
I think if you're going to get yourself fired, you should probably get yourself fired in front of the biggest crowd possible. So this should have been something, if you were thought that out, you should have done that anniversary show. Because at least you get the 50,000 or 5,000 or whatever it is he gets paid for that appearance. So I think this was where he was testing his limits to see how far he could go, and he found out that was too far for him to go.
I'm with Alfredo Esparza. I have the same opinion of him. That Alfredo said he wasn't going to last through the anniversary.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. He'd last till the anniversary, and then he'd do something. Him and Wagner would break some sort of rule, and then they'd be kicked out based on what they did on the anniversary, not what they did before the anniversary.
Mm-hmm. So today's show had substitutions that were going on during the show. We knew some of them because they were announced last night, but even as far as the hours going into just before the show, like, there were things still going on. Somehow no one realized Metal Leon was supposed to be in two places at the same time.
We didn't realize,
even though we saw the title match.
We knew both of those well in advance.
And then Flyer, the situation with Flyer is that he was asked yesterday if he would still be on the show, and he said yes. And then today, he just said no. So he said no, probably too late for them to book a replacement, based on the way everything worked out. Because they had plenty of other replacements in, but they just didn't have anyone for that match. And I think that match really suffered for not having a replacement.
I would assume someone talked some sense into him, that he thought he's so low on the totem pole he can show up. But somebody said, no, you probably shouldn't, because they'll take you off the shows. But Principe Diamante showed up, which is funny, because he's also a CMLL guy. In fact, just after the show, we found out he's booked Monday in Puebla.
Yeah, so I don't know if he considers himself a Puebla guy, and so he wouldn't be affected by this, or if he's still... Because I'm sure some of these guys are training in CMLL. Yeah. Although the Magnificos, everyone noted that they weren't on this card, and they are definitely training with CMLL. So
I hope Diamante doesn't lose his spot in CMLL based on today's match, because it wasn't worth it.
No, definitely was not worth it. The opener, which was never... They never had an opener advertised, so it wasn't really changed.
Yeah.
So it was...
it wasn't even supposed to be on the show. This was like a bonus match.
Yeah, this was a bonus match because they had combined a couple matches to make it. So this was like who would answer your phone first or who entered their WhatsApp.
That's what someone described it to me beforehand, because I asked them who's going to be in the match, because they told me it's a five-way. He said Rey Fénix is going to be one. He said Deathfly.
Yeah.
But he didn't know who Deathfly was. And then he said the other three, even the promoters don't know who they are. Just random guys who happen to show up.
Yeah. So it's like, if you brought your gear, you had a good chance of working that show. So five-way turned out to be Rey Fénix, who was in Carolucha for a while and has not been around because he's got other stuff to do under other identities.
I was told by somebody there that, he was in the Bestiario, first of all. He did very good in the Bestiario. And then he did so good, in fact, that they invited him back for the next show. But he got electrocuted before the show at whatever his real job is. So because of that, he couldn't show up to work the show. So this was his first time back. But they've been waiting for him to come back.
Yeah, and they gave him returning to you. He was the only one who they really hyped up in the introduction. So it's kind of a telegraph of who's going to win this match.
Not that anybody else deserved to. He deserved to win.
Yeah. The Rey Fénix was one. It was a five-way, five-match fighter. if it was an IWRG parlance.
Yes.
Ray Phoenix Black was an IWRG trainee who spells his name weird. Imperio Negra, who I think we saw on the last show.
He was in the opener, yeah.
Ying Sing.
We saw him too. He was in the same match.
They were tag partners, and Deathfly were the five guys. If I have my notes right, Black was out first by Imperio Negra. Then Ying Sing was out second by Deathfly. Deathfly lost to Ray Phoenix. Because they did a segment of Deathfly and Imperio Negra against Ray Phoenix. It was 2-on-1.
Where they kept screwing up and hitting each other.
Yes. So eventually Imperio Negra just got annoyed with his partner and helped Ray Phoenix beat him. And then Ray Phoenix beat Imperio Negra to get the win.
Was it supposed to be one of those running Canadian Destroyer deals?
Yeah.
But Imperio Negro is about twice the size of Ray Phoenix. So it was just basically a running...
Sunset flip.
Sunset flip.
Yeah.
They really should have... I mean, listen, they're newcomers. They're not very experienced, so you can't blame them. But they should have thought on their feet and done something else or redone that same spot for all I care, because the ending was just... The fans even booed it. It was really flat.
I think the whole match, you could tell that these were five guys who had not spent a lot of time working to each other. A lot of stuff improvised. A lot of stuff was stuff not looking exactly right or getting people in the right position very obviously. There were some good spots. I thought Ray Phoenix just looked better in other matches.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was... he's probably the best guy here, but...
He slipped on the ropes trying this double springboard thing, which was okay because he just got back up and did it anyways. And he did a cool moonsault dive. Somebody else did a cool dive. I can't remember which one it was. It must have been Deathfly or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he was the other small guy. But at least, you know, they didn't bust out a package pile driver, Canadian Destroyer, everything. Mm-hmm. Considering it was five match fighters, I thought it was pretty toned down based on some other five match fighters I've seen in IWRG.
And so. It was very much an opener match on the indie show, I think. They tried stuff. Some of it worked.
For a bonus match, whatever. The original card, I mean, they wouldn't put it on the... If the original card was still the six matches as advertised, this wouldn't have been on any card.
Yeah. The second match was, I think we both agree, was the best match on the show.
Easily.
It was Centurion and Latigo versus Fly Warrior and Mr. Leo. Flyer was a substitution for Metal Leon because he was otherwise busy.
Wait a minute. So that's what I was going to ask you. So the crowd was chanting Leo at Latigo. And I asked you, why are they chanting Leo at Latigo?
Yeah, but they were chanting for Mr. Leo.
No, they were making fun of him because he's the Ninja Turtle Leo.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, we should just kill kayfabe right here.
Who cares? Everybody there knows. Everybody who's listening to this knows that.
I wasn't listening to this. I did not know that.
Oh, I thought you knew that. I'm sorry.
I was... No.
That's why I asked you that, because I'm like, why are they chanting that? Because isn't that giving everything away? But yeah. Because remember I was telling you, he worked Hombre Bella Jr. in Caralucha in a great match.
Yeah.
And then right away I asked you, why are they chanting Leo?
Leo. You know, I'm behind on my indie watching, maybe the Latigo... Hummer Bala match I've not seen.
Yeah, no. That's why they were chanting Leo.
I'm sorry that we've broken all the children's hearts by revealing the Ninja Turtle gimmick. Tell me the other three.
I won't tell you that. Well, you know one of them. You know Raphael. That's
no, cool. I don't. Okay, I do not know.
They are actual... The other three... Listen, I'm sorry, everybody. Latigo is Leo, but the other three are actual turtles. Like, legitimately, half human, half turtles.
It's really...
Please pass that around on Twitter.
They've got some of the standards out in IWRG.
Just put up a disclaimer when you put the podcast up. Rob accidentally reveals who, you know... I could be wrong, by the way. I'm not right about everything. Only, like, 99% of things.
So, do we want to give Roy the literal underground return while we're at it?
Oh, no. I got nothing to say about that.
Leo... Just thrown off.
Back to the great match.
It was a great match. My mind's just gone now. So the idea is Fly Warrior is like the pseudo third criminal boy. Because they had their matching kind of gear, style of gear here. But
he's teamed with them in the past on the indies.
Yeah. But he was just kind of filling here because Metal Leon and Mr. Leo, the Lion Brothers, they're a regular indie tag team. Who's not as known as the other one, as the criminal boys, but they get around. Anyway... Doesn't really matter. This match was awesome. They did so many crazy big spots. They did the double Oklahoma Stampede in the corner, Centurion, where he lifted both Flywater and Mr. Leo on his shoulders. Took two tries, but you could take five tries if you're going to get that up.
Yeah, it worked better with the two tries because it looks like, you know, an actual struggle and the crowd popped for it.
Huge. Yeah, I think some of the times what they don't sell their impressiveness of their own moves enough.
100% agree.
And that kind of did. And since Aaron did a big celebration after one move later on, I wonder if it was a dive or something else. But that, I think that's the thing that a lot of guys need to add to their game.
Yep.
What spots did you like from this match?
Oh, man, this match had so many spots. They had Latigo went for his move. He has, a inverted suplex where he holds the guy in the air and then somewhat drops him like a brainbuster, but an inverted brainbuster. And while he had Mr. Leo up, Mr. Leo hit him with knee strikes in the head as he was upside down and then fell right backwards into a dragon sleeper choke that looked like... I've never seen encountered like that, and it looked amazing. And then they did somebody, I want to say...
That was a match where Centurion broke a seat on his moonsault to the outside.
Yeah, they did one dive train early on, and then they did more dives later.
Yeah.
And on the first dive train, they did a Brilio Dorada. And then Centurion did a moonsault right near us, which you can see on my Instagram, RobViper13, where he landed right on the chairs and broke whoever's seat that was.
Yeah.
And... the one other cool spot that I remember off the... Well, first of all, there was that cool head scissors spot by Mr. Leo, I can't even describe. Just go to my Instagram. I put up the video.
It's like reverse motion head scissors almost.
It's kind of like there was a gymnast who was trying this. I remember a Dorada fan on Twitter showed me. And then this local guy who works up in northern Mexico copied it. And I don't know if Mr. Leo seen it or not, or if he came up with it himself, but it's kind of like the same thing where it looks like he's going for a jumping roundhouse kick, but he turns it right into a Frankensteiner. It looked amazing. And then near the end, they did a spot where I think Fly Warrior was going for a front cracker, which is a code breaker, I guess.
Yeah.
And Centurion caught him and in one motion threw him over his head and caught him right down in a reverse pile driver. Kind of like that old move Easy Money used to do.
Yeah.
Or Jason Jett, if you're a WCW fan.
Yeah.
And then Latigo came off the top with a double stomp as Centurion did the reverse pile driver.
Yeah.
Just a disgusting sequence there. I loved it. But I didn't film it because I'm an idiot.
Was that the finish?
That was right before the finish.
Yeah, the finish was the behind-the-back powerbomb and the missile dropkick.
Yeah.
And I think Centurion and Latigo look like a pretty good team in this.
The crowd, early on, I could sense they were kind of they were doing derogatory chants towards Centurion because they were really only a fan of, Mr. Leo.
Yeah.
Or they were Flyword
because the thing about the crowd is that the Legion X fan club were very, very loud.
They know them, yeah.
So they're fans of Criminal Boys. So most of the crowd noise, any other crowd noise was kind of drowned out by them at times.
They had a loud drum. It's unfair.
Yeah. They had a loud drum, and they had 40 people, maybe?
Yeah, they had a lot of people.
That was more than last time we got there. I think
that's probably why they moved from the top to the bottom, because there's more room.
The crowd was up maybe 20% from last time.
Yeah, I think I would guess just under 300 or at 300.
It was a really good turnout for that building.
But by the end of the match, the crowd was just cheering everybody. They threw money afterwards. Well-deserved money, by the way.
Yeah.
They got SOS Lucha chants.
Well-deserved chants, as well as other matches.
And then they did a post-match angle. Maybe you want to go through it?
Yeah, so Toxin and Flystar came out to officially induct Flywater into the Criminal Boys. They got him a shirt and everything. Really touching. Except Flywater turns on them, attacks both of them, and Latigo and Centurion join in.
Mr. Leo just sitting on
and
the
Mr.
side.
Mr. Leo's like, I'm not involved in this. I got a tag partner. I don't need any part of this. So they try to destroy the Criminal Boys, but the Criminal Boys occasionally feel like jumping up and not selling anything. So
until they tore off their masks.
They tore off their masks, and even then they came back again another time. But
Vish, it looked pretty brutal when they did come back. At one point, Fly Warrior wasn't even expecting it, and one of the Criminal Boys just launched himself with a dropkick across the ring.
Yeah, but eventually, the new trio got together enough to pull out that they had new T-shirts with their names already on them, which was surprising since Fly Warrior was a last-minute sub. But so something's going
magic.
On. In magic. And they're Malahedra?
Apollo explained it to me, but now I can't remember.
Malahedra, which I think Google Translate was telling me is bad weed or bad or something. I don't think it means the weed that you were first thinking about. It's they're they're growing their bad plant.
It's something where the official translation is not what it's supposed to mean.
Okay.
The meaning is like slang or something.
Okay.
So we're useless because we're gringos.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I was just guessing because like Cubs said, they had the name on the shirt and Fly Warrior wasn't even booked. Mm-hmm. So how would that have worked? I'm guessing that they're a group in XMW. That's the only rationale I can think of it, why they would have all their names on a single t-shirt already.
Or maybe they were going to do some other run-in later in the night.
Yeah, it could have been that too. Because Fly Warrior was there. I mean, he must have... Who knows?
Yeah. So...
But I would legit give this match probably a good four stars, maybe more. Who knows?
Yeah, something
this was like, really good.
This was high-end stuff.
This was better than any match we saw at Carl Lucha last month, in my opinion.
And then I like that they did the angle at the end because it seems like the indie scene is good at pushing groups mm-hmm. and tag teams right now. And turning them, Latigo and Centurion are guys that are booked on shows, but not really booked in any other role except under those identities as ex-IWRG guys. And so giving them a name and a stable and a purpose and someone to feud with is probably going to help those guys to get more bookings since they're not more, too.
If we want a fantasy book, I mean, we can do like the Lion Brothers against the Criminal Boys, mm-hmm. against the Sky Stars, against two of the three from the new group.
Yeah.
Whoever they choose.
Well, wasn't Wasan supposed to be part of the Criminal Boys at one point?
I'm not in here, though. Probably only in...
Well, maybe that's the angle. That's how they set the trios match. Except he missed the show today because he was injured. But that's beside the point.
Centurion said he's coming back to Carl Lucha. And yeah. I can't imagine they're not going to book him after tonight.
We talked to Centurion for about, 10 minutes before the show?
Something like that.
Did not mention this angle at all.
No, KK, man.
Did not tell us, asked him if he had any plans for the future, not say anything.
Said that, did say he was going to try to have the best match on the show.
And he did do that.
And he did deliver with that promise.
Yes, but, we get kayfabed.
Yeah. It's okay, I don't want to know everything going into the... I even told him, I just casually dropped a little hint about one of these cool spots that he did on the last XMW show. I wasn't telling him I wanted to see it. I was just telling him, wow, it's a cool move, which is my way of kind of like, I would love to see this live. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it, which actually makes me happier because I don't like to know which moves are coming up in the match.
Mm-hmm. He did ask her opinion of the match after the match. I gave him a thumbs up.
Yeah. He looked right at us. Was it good? Yeah.
So
I gave him dinero or money just for him because he was really good.
The other three guys were good too.
No, everybody was good. Just Centurion, everything he did in that match was like, why isn't this guy booked more regularly? And yes, I am playing favorites because he is my friend, but still. Yeah. Watch the match and judge. Black Terry filmed it, so he'll be selling it soon.
The third match from there was the Sky Stars. Rayo Star and Sky Man was supposed to face Flyer and Principe Diamante, but since no Flyer, they just made a triangle match. And I think the Sky, it just did not mesh at all.
No, especially not when it was still three, because this was elimination.
Yeah, especially, I think Diamante just was on the same page. I'm not sure if he hurt himself during a match, because the doctor was checking on he was pointing to his neck.
They were saying afterwards that he got knocked silly early on the first dive of the match.
Okay, that explains
it. He didn't do the dive, he got landed on.
Yeah. And was that also a time where he was down on the floor?
That's when he was lying there, and we were like, oh, shit, they're going to jump right on top of him because he was still lying there. But then it was a fake out.
Yeah.
And he did a corkscrew dive to the other side of the ring.
But maybe he took so long getting up that maybe there's something wrong with him at that point.
But he was definitely, because it was very awkward. You could see, he wasn't positioned for anything. And then the spot after when he finally got up, they basically had to maneuver him into position for it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that affected the match, but even up until that point, I didn't think he was doing so hot.
No, the match really kind of dragged for that first segment. Mm-hmm. They did not click as a thing. They tried to do a lot of, instead of doing one-on-one, doing a lot of three-way spots.
The one cool spot was they did a triple running backflip, handspring off the ropes, where all three guys did backflips.
Oh, some of them did better than the other ones on that.
Well, I've only seen that spot done once before in CMLL of all places, so I'm kind of waiting for the first people to bust out the... Because I remember on the last show, was it last month we saw Sky Stars against the Magnificos?
Yeah.
I thought for sure they were going to do the four-way backflip.
Yeah.
Because they were practicing it, but they never did it.
So, Prince de Diamante got beat by Rayo Star, if my notes are correct.
This was seconds after they did the double Spanish fly on the floor.
Yeah.
Where Rayo Star landed on Principe Diamante while taking the Spanish Fly.
Yeah.
And we thought for sure he was done then, and he was, because they rolled him in and pinned him.
Yeah. And then they did a long segment of Skyman versus Rayo Star with, I think it was who turned? I think it was Rayo Skyman. Rayo Star was
first, ripping Skyman's mask.
Okay, yeah. So Rayo Star worked as the Rudo for the long, and he had a long, he was controlled for a long time. That sort of kind of dragged too. I think the last maybe few minutes of the match, it picked it up. But the match was, I think I was tuned out on the match at that point.
Yeah, I know. My issue with the match was the fact that they went Rudo.
Yeah.
Because these are regular tag partners.
Yeah, they're going to just reset next time.
They've done this before too, just a couple months ago when they were doing like the mixed matches where they would team with other partners. They did mask ripping too, and it's just like, if you're going to go somewhere with it, but if you're going to come back the next, or in 2 weeks, they're coming back, you know, and you're going to be tag partners, I'd rather see them work more like tag partners who know each other, rather than we're going to rip masks and rip each other's thongs.
Yeah. Yes, we did underwear ripping in this match, too. Yeah.
But they did a bunch of cool moves. They did a couple dives. There was no stage dive, thankfully, because for those of you who are unaware, this is exactly the one-year anniversary of when Skyman jumped off the third deck and basically cracked his spine.
Yeah.
And put him out for a couple months, which he does regret, according to people who know him.
Yeah, because that's the only spot people think of him. You think of that guy.
And now they expect it from him on every show.
Yeah. They did near falls. They did a top rope hurricanrana for a near fall. And then they did this. It was
the first Spanish fly of the show.
Skyman doing the springboard Spanish fly and Rayo Star for the win. And then people threw money in, even though people should not have thrown money in.
Yeah, I don't know if it was. I think they just, during the match, we were talking, right? And I said, if they throw money, it'll be just based on reputation.
Yeah.
I wonder if, because he wasn't around by that point, I wonder if Diamante gets a cut of that money.
No. Well, I wonder, that was the situation in the other match where the guys were killing each other in the post-match.
While the money was on the
was, and Mr. Leo was trying to sneak around to grab some of the money.
Yeah, because it was going to go fine.
Yeah. He knows what matters. It's the money.
But overall, I'd say just okay at best. I was expecting much better.
Yeah.
But again, we're saying all this up until 2 days ago. They had probably a whole different idea of who they were working.
Yeah.
So.
And this wasn't a situation, because we got there way early. This was a situation where the guys were working out their matches in the ring. This is just
throwing stuff. Which is a common misconception a lot of people have. You think the luchadors are in the ring going over every single spot before the show. And I can tell you that is 100% not true for any promotion here in Mexico, at least.
The fourth match was Flystar and Toxin, the Criminal Boys, versus Hero Boy and Violento Jack.
They recovered, or Flystar recovered for the beating.
Yeah, they came back. They were perfectly fine after being beat up 20 minutes ago. This was a good match, I thought. This was the first three fall match of the show. Compadres Extremos took the first and the third falls. What do I want to say? What do you want to say about it?
I like my second favorite match on the show. It was, I said it on Twitter, I'll say it again here, that Arrow Boy, and I've said it even to Arrow Boy himself, that Arrow Boy and Violent Jack are a very good team, and much better when they're doing these matches instead of the extreme matches. I thought it really showed what kind of crowd was here, because they were chanting Lucha Extrema, even though the guys were having a really good match without any extreme stuff, so why would they need to bring the chairs or the weapons involved? The double team moves by the Arrow Boy and Violent Jack were pretty cool.
Yeah.
The criminals hung in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got any thoughts?
Someone needs to buy Arrow Boy a new shoulder harness thing, because it comes for every match, twice
he's
every
the
match.
He's new Bob Orton. He's got the cast on.
Yeah. But if someone needs to help get him a better clasp or something so it doesn't fall off. That just seems like that'd be a pain. I don't know.
It was stiffer than most other matches. They really hit each other hard. And afterwards, you could see everybody was in pain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Violento Jack and one of the Sky Stars were down for quite a while after that match. Violento Jack won with the package pile driver. No one kicked out the package pile driver, which was made it different from other indie shows.
It was traditional rules. They only had to pin one guy. Not like normally you would wait till they'd have to pin both guys.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I think got some money afterwards, right?
Yeah.
It was, like I said, my second favorite match on the show. It was good. And the Criminal Boys, if they were looking to make an impression, I mean, they did. Yeah. I'd love to see them face a rematch.
Yeah, this was, you know, the local star team versus the traveling star team, and local team looking good even if they lost.
And we're going to see them again on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully. Both it was supposed to be against Puma. Puma, Tiger, and the Traumas, but probably
Violento Jack and Araboy were seeing.
They're probably just going to face the Traumas now.
Yeah, which still should be good and it'll be a very hard hitting match.
I think the crowd's going to be chanting Lucha Extreme again though, because now they've changed that main event too.
Yeah, that'll be something. The fifth semi-main was the Neza Kings, which this time were Andy Boy, Guerrero Mexico, and Danger. And those are really the three guys who are, it seems like, now.
They're the regular guys. They're a great team.
Versus Epidemus, Ultimo Ninja from Monterrey, and Titanilia from Juarez.
Who I didn't know was from Juarez until the post-match meal. I thought he was another Monterrey guy.
No.
But it was weird because before he came with Pagano.
Yeah.
And he was standing by him and selling stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Have you ever seen him before tonight?
No. I've seen his name on results plenty of times, or lineups, but I haven't seen him in action.
He looked to me like a version of a copy of Apollo Estrada Jr. from IWRG.
Yeah.
But the crowd was chanting Maximo at him the entire time.
Because he had the mohawk, and they were chanting Zumbido because of his pants.
Right.
And because it was a blonde mohawk. This was a match where we went to the other two pairs went through their cycles of opening, and then it came down to Centinelia, and it was Guerrero Mexico in?
I don't know, it was Danger.
It was Danger in. And the fans are getting on Centinelia because of his hair and chanting Maximo at him.
And also that he's fat.
And that he's fat, and they were getting on him. So you could tell he wanted to prove a point right away. And he's hitting the ropes hard, and he does this hard handspring into the ropes, and the top rope just goes. The turnbuckle completely came out of the
post. It wasn't even like the rope snapped, just the turnbuckle just popped right off.
Right. And he was completely shook up and was down for a while.
As he did the handspring, so like the third rope goes, he lands with his back folded across the second rope.
Yeah.
And then he tumbled to the floor on his feet.
Yeah.
And he put his hands up that he was okay, but then he went down afterwards. Yeah. Just that jarring sensation. Yeah. Because there's not like rope, it's the cable rope. Yeah. So it snapped right on his back.
He was hurt after the match, but he did get back up and finished it.
Yeah, no, he finished it fine. I thought he did great, considering.
Yeah, it was like a 7 to 10 minute pause.
Oh, it felt like forever.
So they...
And I thought it was completely unnecessary.
The ring crew did their best to put it back together. After like 3 minutes, the crowd was getting antsy, and Guerrero Mexico just wanted to go. And it took another like 3 or 4 minutes for him to convince anyone to go with him. It was Ultimo Ninja drop kicked him out of the ring and did a Topkin Giro over the second rope, which I was very amused by.
Yeah.
And then the other four guys just...
He did it like the third rope was actually there. He jumped so high as if he was going
to
clear it.
Because that's the only way he knows how to do it.
Right, exactly.
So they did a quick finish while the people were in the corner still working on the ropes.
I got a good video of that.
They got the ropes back together. They paused it for like 3 or 4 more minutes to get finished putting the ropes together.
What I'll say though is about the rope break is I understand when the rope breaks, first of all, you want to check if the guy's okay who hit the ropes. Then you want to hold on a second to see if they can put it back together. But after a couple minutes, you could see they were talking and they realized this can take a while because they got to hammer the turnbuckle post back in so they can hook it all up. And Guerrero Mixtico he kept hopping around the ring, you know, trying to stay. Because, you know, you come out for a match, you're ready to go. You've got the adrenaline rush and everything. And he kept moving because he didn't want to lose it. Meanwhile, I don't want to put blame or anything, but it was mostly the Monterrey guys and Centinela who were posing for pictures with fans.
Yes.
And taking their time. And Mixtico kept like, come on, get in the ring. Because they could have done that finish. They did the finish without the top rope.
Yeah.
So they could have got to it much quicker and then paused in between falls.
I think at one point, Teddy, who was a referee for his match, tried to dissuade him to hold up, to wait, not do the fight, but they had to go start doing it at some point.
They had to start doing it, because, I mean, it was taking forever. It was getting ludicrous, and I applaud Mixtico, because you don't need the top rope, technically, unless you're going to be doing stuff with it, and nothing they did needed the top rope. Anyways, that's just my minor complaint, but otherwise, I thought...
That second fall, either because of nerves or because they had lost their momentum.
Oh, they lost it, yeah.
There were so many botched spots in that. It was very, very, it was not a good fall.
And I noticed the guys who were, because like when they put the rope back together, I immediately turned to Cubs and I'm like, do you think anybody is going to have the guts to use those ropes going forward? But they did actually, except I could tell if you know what to look for, the way they were running the ropes wasn't the way they were running the ropes in the first fall. And they were doing it more like, I would say, American style, because they don't teach you this way in Mexico. Well, they do in some places in Mexico, where when they hit the ropes, they grab the second rope to brace themselves, just in case that top rope does give out again. Whereas in the first fall, it was just like really fast. They would smash that top rope without even holding the second rope.
They were running a lot slower, too, hitting the ropes.
Definitely.
Even hitting the corner seemed like they were going
slow. And even Mixtico was like, after they put it back up, he was laying across the top rope with all his body weight.
Yeah.
Just to make sure to be able to support everybody.
Yeah. They were, they wanted to secure Spassel, but they didn't really trust it. The third fall was pretty good. I think everyone kind of went all out to try to make up for,
because the crowd really turned on the match by that point. They were heckling it.
Yeah. And they all looked good. I think it was the big dive train at the end was really the highlight.
Spectacular.
With Mexico doing a Brilla Cometa. Yeah. And who else? I know Ultimo Ninja did Asai.
Tornillo, yeah.
Asai Tornillo. Someone else did.
They did Brillo Dorada to start it off.
Yeah.
Santinella did a cool flip dive.
And it was Andy Boy. He got tossed way up.
And Andy Boy got launched so high into the air. I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put all these videos on Instagram because I got a good video of this. But can you imagine having the guts to do a Brillo Cometa after the top rope already broke?
Yeah. He was saying some prayers before he did that wrong.
Yeah, he did the whole cross thing.
Yeah, that was even if that was just part of the act, it was a good part of the act. If it was not part of the act, it was totally understandable.
And really, I thought third fall was great. I don't know about your thoughts, but I liked the finish, even though it involved the referee. I thought it got a huge pop, and everybody loved it. Everybody was cheering.
It was a situation where Teddy got knocked down, and the Nezik guys, one Nezik guy followed the guy in the other team, and they all took turns following the next guy. Teddy got back up as Guerrero Mexico had followed Centinela and had seen it. So for reasons that only make sense to him, Guerrero Mexico decided to try to follow Teddy, only Teddy blocked it
and
followed him.
And the whole, it sounds like the stupidest comedy spot ever, but it was great. The timing and the crowd started cheering. Even I saw Black Terry Jr. was like laughing at ringside.
It's an only in Lucha Libre spot.
Exactly.
You're not going to get the any place else. So the Nessie Kings, undaunted, unmask Epidemus and Ultimo Ninja and covered them, but Teddy wasn't having any part of it and raised Sentinella's hand for the DQ win.
Some good refereeing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I figured they would go the CMLL route where Tirantes gets bumped in the most absurd way possible. And you can clearly see he's watching them remove masks, but he'll still count the pinfall. But here, Terry, even though we could see the referee looking right at them, and he actually DQ'd them for it, which is good. And they set something up afterwards.
Yeah, because two of the Nezik Kings, I don't know if it was Mexico.
It's Mixtico and Danger.
And Danger brought tag team belts of unknown origin to the ring.
It's ERLL, that Monterey.
Oh, belt. Yeah, that makes sense. Because they won them in the match he wasn't doing so well in.
Right.
So, obviously, setting up the rematch with Ultimo Ninja and Epidemus for maybe even the next show. You didn't think... Now, Epidemus came to the ring. This is the thing I forgot to mention. He had a Big Van Vader, like, smoking helmet thing going on.
I didn't get a good picture, but it looked cool.
It smoked a little bit. It flamed a little bit. He didn't make it all... I was hoping he was making it all around the ring. So, it was look cool, and it makes him look different. But it also smoked up the arena for about a good...
Yeah.
A little bit. But of course, also, Mexico City is still a place where you can smoke inside the arena without a problem.
I don't think Arena Mexico.
Probably not Arena Mexico.
I don't think so.
But Arena San Juan.
And not Arena Ciudad de Mexico. I don't think Arena Coliseo either.
No.
But like the smaller buildings, you definitely can.
I don't know if we saw anyone at IWRG.
I think so, yeah, because somebody was smoking near us when we went last time. Okay. You were near that time. One thing I should mention now that we mentioned title belts. One of the unknown guys in the opener, actually the first guy who came out, had a title belt with him that was literally cardboard. It was like a toy belt.
Yes.
So next, if you're a luchador listening to this, please don't ever brag about how you're a champion of something, because I don't care. Because everybody in Mexico has a title. Everybody who works for CML has a title, except Marco.
Yeah. Only bring a belt out if you're going to win the match, or if you're going to set up a title program.
Or if it's an actual national title that has some sort of credibility.
Even then, I wouldn't bother.
But if you're bragging somewhere that, I have four title belts, I really could give a shit.
Mm.
Because who was the one who posted it? Joe Leader posted pictures where Joe Leader's got four belts and he's so proud of himself. And Two of them are from promotions that you wouldn't even know existed in the first place.
And
another one he never defends and never defends. So what's the point of even having it? And then the fourth one is like a belt that he just trades, I think, with somebody else in extreme matches.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what? I don't even want to
go into they brought the belts out for an actual title match here. So that made sense.
I guess, yeah. But yeah, the guy in the opener, I don't know. You lose all credibility if you're actually boasting you have a cardboard title.
There was a fan in the crowd who had a cardboard Carolucci title, and it looked better than the title in the ring.
I didn't see that.
So
then we get to the match of the night in Cubs' opinion.
That match, that trios match, if you go back, it's like the Monterey team took 1-3. If you get to see that, you just want to see the rope break in the first fall, or the turnbuckle, and then the third fall.
The third fall was really good, yeah. If they could somehow do another match on the next show and combine the first two falls with the third match, this you could edit together into a very good match.
You did not think much of Epidemus. No. I don't even remember much he did in the match. I know Ultimo Ninja, even though I've seen him kind of paying attention on Noche the Coliseo on the five times a year they air a new episode. He looked bigger in person. He looked much more like a Garza in person, if that makes any sense. The dropkick looked good. The tornado looked good. The dive he did the outside. I'm looking forward to seeing him again on Sundays to get more of an idea of how he is.
He based pretty good, too, when he was taking offense from the other guys.
Yeah.
He was okay. I wouldn't say he was great or anything. Like, I know you enjoyed him more than me, but I mean, I'm holding out my opinion because we're going to see him another time on the Chilanga match show.
Who's he having on the Chilanga match?
Hechicero.
Oh, yeah, so that's going to be pretty good.
So if you can't have a good match with Hechicero, then you're done with me.
Yeah. And they should have experience. The main event ended up being Damian 666 versus LA Park versus Pagano. LA Park got the third entrance because, of course, and he did the mic work before the match to get in his catchphrase. And
to explain the situation.
Yeah, there was a decent amount of media at that show. There's a lot of shows that people are at, but I think people were expecting something from LA Park as far as...
That's why they chose to come to this show.
Yeah, to explain the situation. And really all they got is that pre-match mic work, because after the show, he did not want to talk to anybody. So,
which is understandable, I guess.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to be content to maybe he'll film another video and he'll be on a horse or something explaining his side.
Like I said, I found a video on YouTube from his house.
We need the interview from the pool. The pool side.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we need. This was a Pagano match.
I'm sure we're going to see the same exact interview on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure every show he's going to do for the next 3 months is going to have this interview. This was a Pagano match, and it was not nearly as good as Pagano match on the Chilango match show versus Trauma 1.
Was that any good? I didn't even watch
it. It was better than I thought it would be, and it did not, unless Mas Lucha did some creative editing, there were not horrendously botched spots like there were from Pagano in this match.
Yeah.
This was one that even people who liked Pagano would not defend this match much, because it was a bad performance. Even Pagano would probably say he could do better than this, because this was just, he was missing on a lot of stuff.
I'm not even sure he can, in my opinion.
At least he would know not to do this stuff.
What the hell was he even trying at one point? He ran to the turnbuckle, jumped on one rope, jumped on the other, and then just threw himself down on the mat on his own face as Damien was like watching him going, what the hell are you doing?
I don't know if he was trying to do a moonsault or something.
I don't know if he saw an imaginary person he was trying to land on.
Yeah. This was best in the, like, maybe the first 5-10 minutes when they were brawling outside. Especially when they were brawling, when Damien got thrown into a hole and knocked the whole row of seats down. The atmosphere was pretty good, because of course there are a lot of Pagano fans. But that's he's here because he has a lot of fans, not because of his matches. And it was kind of made me wonder how this match would have gone if had Rush actually been into it, because people were really excited for LA Park, and Pagano had his fans, and Damien was also there.
It would have had more heat with Rush, because you would have had everybody against Rush. Whereas here, they were split. The same Pagano fans that were cheering him were also cheering LA Park.
Yeah.
So, you keep going, because this is all you. I have nothing good to say about
this. The highlight of this match was Pagano going outside looking in the ring for light tubes, looking for another ring for light tubes. No light tubes could be found. And then match goes on, but suddenly Rafael Myers comes over to his section. A whole bunch of people
An army of children.
An army of children, some adults too, he brings them along to backstage. They disappear for a minute or two, and they all come running back with these massive amount of light tubes. Is there like a light tube shed in the back of Arena San Juan? Did they go raid a nearby store? Some of
those fans bring them, don't they?
Some of them may.
Because at XMW, I know the fans always bring their own weapons.
That's tough to... You know, they do pat-downs at this building, so it would be kind of tough to sneak in. I don't know. I don't know where these light tubes came from, but they were all over the match for the last two-thirds of it. And there were many, many... They were done... The thing with the light tubes is if you do one, it looks spectacular, but if you do 50, it's like, wait a minute, this probably can't be that big of a deal because your guys aren't treating it like
or
a big
deal.
Or
when fans are holding them and hitting each other with them during the match.
The highlight for me was also there were some light tubes seeing next... on like towards the edge of the ring, and a kid just ran while they were fighting, ran and grabbed two light tubes and just left and just did not care at all. I cannot imagine that happening on any show anyplace else.
I do have a positive thing to say.
Yeah.
Damien is very polite because at one point Pagano handed him five light tubes
yes.
and said, could you please just hold these? Yeah. So Damien held them while Pagano took about 20 minutes mm-hmm. to set up his next spot and then jumped on Damien in the light tubes. That is very professional.
There's another part too where Pagano was laying on the ground.
And Damien just handed him the light tubes.
And yeah.
You just sit here and I'm going to go up top and you just make sure you hold them in the right place mm-hmm. where you won't get hurt.
Yeah. So after 500 weapon shots, they do the thing that I think AAA loves to do, is that you have all the extreme spots, and then someone does a foul, and that's a DQ.
Yeah, or you have interference by a million guys. That's AAA's thing.
Yeah.
And then nothing's called.
Yeah, so Park foul, who did he foul, Pagano? Pagano and Damien were down for like 10 minutes, and it felt like forever.
Damien was down for way long.
And because Park did a long, long argument with Teddy over how he shouldn't be DQ'd. And Rafael Amaya came in and they both tried to reject Park and Park wouldn't go. And then finally he just went.
And he hit Terry with the light tube shot.
Yeah.
Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy, that's finally
what... Amaya showed up.
Yeah, so that's finally what got him ejected.
Just so we'll go through this one more time, just in case you guys missed it. He hit the referee with a light tube shot. The referee had time to get up and eject him.
Yeah.
So the referee is not affected by these light tubes that are supposedly insanely dangerous and extreme. And if you go on Facebook, only the real wrestlers wrestle extreme matches.
So
I guess Teddy's a real wrestler.
He's an extreme wrestler. He's an extreme lucha historian. They concern me that Teddy got hurt and I
is
got
that
hurt.
Is that Teddy that sends out the history stuff?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, we should have went up to him and said something.
I always think to, but I never do. But if something happened to him and happened to me, then it would be all on Matt Farmer to do all the Lucha history. We can't have all three of us in the same building at the same time. Tragedy would befall.
I thought this match was the worst live match I've ever seen.
Pagano beat Damien somehow. I didn't
Doesn't
even
matter.
Wow, was it? It was a destroyer.
No, it was the kryptonite crunch thing on the light tubes.
Yeah, that's right.
Damien took a lot of punishment.
And really, after those two guys were down forever, they only got up for like maybe 30 seconds more spots.
Yeah, not even.
After LA Park was gone. And it was clear that LA Park was gone first, so he could get out of there without having to deal with the fans or deal with the media at all.
Which is actually pretty smart. I'll give him credit for that.
Pagano did a big thank you for coming, even though there were all these problems. But because this is real wrestling, independence or where it's at, speech to end the show.
Yeah, probably not the right match to like prove that this is where real wrestling is.
Yeah.
But hey, to each their own.
Yeah.
Fans, as much as I'm shitting on the match, the fans had the total opposite reaction. They were all into it. And you can clearly tell that there's Pagano draws a certain audience.
Yeah.
Which is great. But you really have to put him on last because his match ruins everything.
Yeah.
How can you follow it? And how can you clean up the ring? The ring was a total mess.
Yeah. Damien put in decent effort. I had no problem with
him. I'm happy to see he's unretired from not doing hardcore matches.
He was in a tough position and he kind of could have been that, but it was just, he was kind of there. They announced that the next show would be October 3rd, a Saturday. They didn't announce any matches.
I wouldn't be surprised if they just did like almost the same lineup with CMLL guys and just don't have Park on the show.
Or they could be figuring out what their relationship is with CML at this point, and that's why they can't announce any matches.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect that if the Monterey guys are in town, that they're doing a tag title match on that show.
if they bring back the Magnificos, they've got a great tag team division here that they could do stuff with.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that... I mean, no one is interested in doing tournaments except CML and AAA sometimes. But you could do... someone could put together like a really great tag team tournament with all the indie tag teams from Mexico City.
Maybe that could be Busca de Nidolo next year.
No, but that would be too good. So that was the show. It was about a 3-hour show, you'd say?
Just over,
and that was with...
I was surprised that it went that long, because with only 6 matches, I figured it'd be shorter, but they did have the rope break thing. And matches seemed to take forever.
Yeah. So that was the only show we went...
What would you give it, like, out of a 10, let's say? Or compare it to last month's Carl Lucha show.
Last Carl Lucha show was better, definitely, because they had more good to great matches. I tend to agree with you that the tag match from the show was better than anything else from that show, but I'm not sure. It might be a case where everything but the opener from that show was better than everything else on the show.
It's possible. I'd have to go check my notes.
But it was a good show. It was too bad it got ruined by CMLL, but I think we still got money's worth from the show.
I think it would have been a better show with the CMLL guys, because that's what everybody was anticipating.
Yeah.
And I think the crowd would have been much different. But overall, out of a 10, I'd give it 6.5.
Yeah.
And 6 of those are for the tag match.
Yeah.
And the Arrow Boy Violent Jack match.
I'd go 6.5 too.
Yeah. Because definitely, like, it didn't reach my expectations.
No.
But not that it was a bad show by any means. Mm. Although that main event I don't like leaving a show with a main event like that, because it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Mm.
But I'm sure we're the only two people who feel that way. Or I'm the only person who feels that way. Because everybody else left so happy.
Yeah.
And they turned the lights off afterwards, and all the Pagano fans who were in the ring celebrating and doing spots with the weapons and everything.
Yeah.
Because they wanted them out of there.
Because they wanted to clean that ring too, because that was a mess. Poor Teddy had to count. Being a referee in a hardcore match at Light Tubes is not a fun time.
One thing I do want to mention, though, is that I don't know if it's because of the Pagano influence and the type of crowd that follows him, but this show definitely seemed to have a more raucous fan base than the last show we were at.
Yeah.
They were throwing stuff at the ring all throughout the show.
Yeah.
They were chanting mean-spirited things instead of just, like, good things. Well, because on the last show, it was a very positive crowd.
Yeah.
So... I don't want to make any generalizations, but the crowd was definitely not the same crowd that we saw last month when we were there.
Yeah. Or at least the Pagano fans were overpowering every other fans.
Tell them who you sat next to.
No.
It was a woman or a girl with like Pagano face paint, but she had a giant La Parca doll during the match.
Yeah.
And she kept giving Pagano the finger every time he would look at her.
Yeah.
Why did you paint your face like Pagano?
I don't know. And she was wearing a mask part of the show too.
I don't get it. And we saw a kid dressed up in Flamita gear, or you saw him?
Yeah, that was the same Flamita kid that TKD saw after he bought his Flamita gear for Flamita mask, that he saw that they had changed the mask on the kid. It might be the mask maker's son, if I remember that story right.
You look cool.
Yeah. Ooh. So we took an Uber back to our hotel.
In Mexico, people.
Yeah, it was pretty cheap.
They say don't ride the taxis in Mexico. They say don't ride the bus, the subway.
Yeah.
But they never said anything about Uber.
Yeah. They haven't got to it yet. We took the bus there, and that worked okay. It's a long bus ride from where we were at. Because we were like one end of the line to the other end of the line.
But we did it because, according to Terry, the bus is about the same amount of time as the subway, but it's less busy.
Yeah.
If we were went on the metro, which is the subway, we would have had to switch 3 times.
Yeah.
And... just it's more crowded.
Yeah.
On the bus, I mean, we were by ourselves the entire time in the middle section, basically.
Yeah. It got busier near the end, but it wasn't that too bad. So that's about it
for today. Came back and we ate and we're here.
We're planning on going to the DTO show tomorrow in Pachuca. It's looking good for that right now.
Yeah, we got like a 90-minute trip just to get to where we have to get picked up.
Yeah.
To make another 90-minute trip in a car.
Yeah. So we're thinking that if we make it, we're probably not going to be back till the early AM hours.
Probably at least 3.
So we thought we might as well do the preview. We'll do something about the DT show at some point, but we might as well do the anniversary preview today.
We'll spend like 2 hours on the anniversary and then 10 minutes on DTU.
Yeah.
Unless DTU has like an amazing show.
Yeah. What do we actually have to say about the anniversary show? Do you have big things about the?
I got a lot of things to say about the opener. Oh yeah,
the
second match. Okay, Guerrero, Maya, Stuka, and Maximo against the Revolucionarios.
Yeah.
This is a match that you will only see on an anniversary show because of its importance. Oh no, wait. Let me check the match finder on Lucha Blog. You can see it about 15 other times in the last 3 months in CMO.
It's really, for the most part, it's a Sunday card. If you take out the mass match and you put in a Kimura Apocalypse versus Robin and Sensei match as the opener.
Oh god.
If you bump everything else up and put that match on the bottom.
Are you sure CML won't even do that as like a bonus match?
Yes, I'm sure CML will not give anyone any bonuses at all.
That's true.
It's too bad.
I would argue that tonight's Arena Mexico show was probably stronger than Friday's going to be, except for the mask match.
Yeah.
I would say Sunday too, even.
Yeah, because they have a lot of people who are not at show who's going to be who are on other shows who are going to be good. And they, I mean, there's some matches where it looks like they didn't put any thought putting guys together.
We'll start with the opener. I mean, right there.
Yeah.
You have three losers from Mbusca. Well, yeah. Two losers from Mbusca.
Yeah.
You've got the Panther, Fuego, and Esfinge.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, shout out to Voices of Wrestling for trying to pronounce Esfinge.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember right, Rich's actual pronunciation was Esfinge.
Yeah.
Like Esfinger or something like that. But it was pretty funny.
You know, I want to have a discussion if we can retroactively declare that Fugo won the second in Busco de Uno. Because he got a gimmick. He got a whole new personality out of it.
Evangelo. Well, Evangelo got to be in the TRV.
Yeah, how did that go for him?
That went great. But yeah, so it's Fuego, Esfinge, and the Panther against Puma, Virus, and Disturbio.
Yeah.
I am shocked that all three of those Rudos are even on the anniversary show. Yeah.
Will Disturbio ever be on another anniversary show?
Well, it's hard to tell. I don't want to bash him too much by saying no.
But this might be the one and done for him. I can see it.
And he's a young guy, so he's got like 20 more years to go.
Yes.
This might be one and done.
Yeah.
And Puma was actually on last year, but it made sense last year because it was family versus family, the Panther family. This time, I can't even believe he made it on number one. Number two, I can't even believe he made it on without Tiger, and they've got Virus as the next guy in that match. I'm guessing Tiger's going to be doing commentary. I can't even believe that.
No, he's just going to be, he's not going to do anything.
He's going to be sitting at home.
Yeah.
But well, they
found he may go. He may go hang out at the show and watch his family, but that's why him and Magnus can hang out. Puma seems to be moving the wrong way down the card, so that's even more surprising. Because he's working way too many segundos for like some bad story not to have come out.
Fucking on Sunday, he's in the segunda with like Starman.
Yes.
I remember when Puma and Tiger were working Starman in the opening matches in 2009.
Yeah. Before long, he's going to be back in IWRG.
Yeah. That's funny, actually. Yeah, he's keep working his way backwards. But it's going to be a good match. I expect it to be a good match. They're going to do all their spots that they're saving up for the anniversary show.
Yeah.
It'll probably end up being the second match, best match on the show, quite frankly.
Second match is Revolutionaries versus Stuka, Maximo, Guerrero, Meyer Jr. They did a promo.
The World Heavyweight Champion in the second match.
They did a promo with Kamatichi and Okamura to promote the show in Japan. So that may be as close as Guerrero Meyer is going to get to Japan this year.
Ouch.
That's vicious. I'm hoping not. It's a match. They'll, again, like we say with every single match, they'll do spots they don't normally do because it's an anniversary show. They'll work hard. Meyer will probably have a crazy headdress. It won't matter at all.
Kim Onita will probably be in this match. He'll get in his spot.
I'm thinking he might be in the Mystico match. It could be this one or the other one.
He'll come up with either Mystico or Maximo.
Yeah.
So take your pick.
He's with Stuka a lot too lately. I don't know why.
Maya will probably end up in the crowd with a dive.
Yes.
You got to figure he's saving it up for this show.
Yeah.
Rey Scorpion will take a ton of bumps to make everybody look great except himself.
He'll do the big Salida Mandir.
And it really doesn't matter who wins at all.
No.
There's no reason anybody should be predicting a winner from this. I say that as I know you've typed up a preview, probably picking a winner.
I may have been evasive about picking winners in the undercard matches. I just couldn't care.
By the way, the whole thing about what we were saying, so Guerrero Maya is the third Mbusca loser. The only guy not booked for Mbusca is the winner.
Yeah.
This is CMLL in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of theories out there about why this is happening. Honestly, it's hard to explain, but my best guess is it's just typical CMLL booking math. That he's not owed the amount of bookings that the other guys are.
Wow, we're at 57 minutes already. I'm sorry. We're probably more than 57.
Crack an hour.
Yeah. I didn't think we had that much to say.
But I don't think there's much controversy besides that. I don't think he's in trouble or anything. I just think it's not his turn to be booked. And the way the lower card is booked is they just pass it out based on who still needs a booking for this week or this couple weeks.
Next match is Dark Angel versus Prishitsuge in a Dark Angel must retire if he wins or loses match.
Probably just like put up the video of the Puebla match and then edit in a couple dives from other matches, and you probably get the exact same match.
Yeah. But, I mean, I expect the match to be okay, good.
I actually have a good question for you.
Yeah.
Because I want your legit response. It's not a lightning match, but would you like to place a wager with me whether CMLL puts up the time for the lightning match, like the clock?
Oh, yeah, I could see them totally doing it.
I guarantee you they will do that.
Yes.
100% they're going to put that up there.
That is the difference between the public matches, that they only did one fall, so they'll have to come up with two other falls.
Why? This is only a one fall match.
It's still a one fall match?
Yeah, it's just one fall, no time limit.
Why wouldn't they do...
But that's why I'm expecting they're going to put up the clock and they're going to hit 10 minutes, and I'm guessing they'll have Terracino in there waving them off like, no, Sarah, you've done a draw in your last match. And she's not going to understand what the hell is going on.
She's going to understand, I'm glad we're getting out of this place to go to someplace else. I mean, this is just... If they just did the farewell ceremony without having a match, would everyone be completely just as happy? Not.
They could put Titan versus Cavernario in this spot and just do a ceremony for Dark Angel after, like they do at Homenaje dos Leyendas for whoever the big returning guy is.
I mean, it's nice she's going to have an important match, but it'd been nice if she had an important match in the last 5 years.
This is like the second drawing match on the show, according to some people, but I don't see this match as a draw. It's just a bonus attraction.
They did the poster for the pay-per-view, and they listed the top matches, and they did not list this match. I think putting in the Tessera kind of telegraphs what they really think about this match. This is just a match to fill up some room. It'll be it's nice that she's getting that moment, but she deserves the moment. But they haven't done enough to make the moment feel like a big thing.
Right. I think she's going to win. I think we're going to cheer. I think they're going to send out the rest of the women to do a ceremony.
This is the thing. Princess Shugi can take the loss, but it doesn't really matter. Because it's not like anyone's over, or she's going to be more over or less over with the win. Or
you can say the same for anybody in CMLL, any match.
Yeah. It's not like she's on her way to doing anything. It's a weird... And if you think about the reasons why Dark Angel is leaving, it's kind of a weird thing that CMLL is celebrating this fact.
This is like the first time ever where they've acknowledged somebody's leaving, and they're saying they're just going out on good terms.
Yeah.
I can't think of any single person where this has happened before.
They did a retirement ceremony in the 90s for Lola Gonzalez.
I remember that. But she was only part-time working.
Yeah, she was part-time working, and she's really made her name in the UWA. And then she was back working horrible matches in AAA years later.
I do remember, actually, Shocker, before he jumped to AAA for the first time in 2006, when he went to AAA.
Yeah.
He actually worked a CMLL match on a Friday, and he kissed the ring before he left, indicating it's his last match, but he was still booked for Sunday, and everybody knew he was going to AAA, and CMLL still let him work the Sunday as like a farewell thing.
Yeah.
That's the only time, but they didn't have a ceremony for him or anything like they're having for her.
Yeah. And she's going to another promotion, but it's a weird thing. But, I mean, it's like you don't want to belittle it because it seems like you're belittling her and she's not her fault.
Deserves it.
Yeah, but
like you said.
But it's the promotion weirdness that's making any negative go towards it. Speaking of negative, Peste Negra versus sort of Sky Team.
Peste Negra minus their only competent their only wrestler who'd be good at catching people. I'm sorry, I insulted Negro Casas by accident there.
Yeah. Yes. The second best worker on the Rudo side will be Zacharias in that match.
Yes.
It's going to be Niebla, Foligno, screwing around, Negro Casas working for three people against Dragon Lee, Mystico, and Valiente. This is like the worst possible way to get Mystico over, and this match is probably going to be an attempt to get Mystico over.
It's fucking idiocy.
Because you're putting him with the guys who are not good catching him, and you're putting him with his brother who's much, much better than him.
Like, someone's going to have to take Dragon Lee's head scissors off the apron.
Yeah.
And by by default, it's going to be the 56-year-old man.
Let's not think about that.
Think about that.
There's no good way I can see that going.
Oh, they're going to... He did it to him when they had the singles match and they landed a plot and it went fine. Yeah. But it's just the height of comedy that you put a 56-year-old man in a match just because he's the only one who could take a head scissors.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Foligno in the Panthers versus Cats match last year. He was trying.
He was trying, but he didn't take the head scissors to the floor spot.
But he wasn't that good even when he was trying. And this last 12 months, he's got worse.
He does nothing.
Yeah. His big push came when he was no longer any good. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not the same thing will happen with his kids.
It's gonna be rough going here. Because even last year they had Niebla in the match with Volador, Mascara Dorada, and Valiente. Mm. And his only job there was to catch. And he did fine. Mm. But it was a short two-fall match where he only had to do basically two spots. Mm. Here, I mean, who's going to catch the Valiente Especial? Mm. Are they going to have Negro Casas catch everything?
Yeah. I think Niebla is, but I think Niebla's tried to do that before.
That's going to be problems.
Yeah.
And what if Mystico's shoulder pops out early on?
Yeah.
This match, I could really see being a disaster.
Yeah.
And I don't care who wins. I'm just guessing La Mystica is going to win. But
yeah, because that's...
CML could just troll the fans like that.
No, they think that's what the fans want to see, but that's another story. Speaking of things that they think the fans want to see, the semi-main, the actual semi-main, now that we remember the mattress, is Ultimo Guerrero teaming with Volador... And who's his partner? Shocker. Yes, that's why I can remember partner.
Against Rush.
Rush, Marco Corleone, and Thunder.
No, something's wrong here. Ultimo Guerrero somewhere.
Yeah, Ultimo Guerrero with Volador and Shocker.
All right, you got it.
So just rewind and listen to again if you're listening to the podcast.
My bad.
So
I keep thinking who's replacing Wagner.
Yeah.
But it's Shocker who's replacing Wagner.
No, Shocker's replacing...
Oh, and Marco jumped in for... No.
Marco's in for Wagner, Shocker's in for L.A. Park.
No offense, love Marco, but this match makes no sense on any level.
No.
You may as well have just put La Mascara on the show and done an Ingo Bernables trios match here.
You might as well put Marco in the last match and move up like Dragon Lee or something.
Sure.
It's... a match to get Ultimo Guerrero and Thunder over, which is a terrible idea. I don't know. What if they just do Volador Rush exchanges for 15 minutes? That's gonna be a great match.
Of course.
If they're not gonna do Volador, no, they may, because I think they have. I think they've come to the realization that Thunder may not be the world's best wrestler, and that they're trying to hide him in some things. So we may just get him doing. I mean, it's going to build to hit him in the finish, but. Before then,
I just think Guerrero's gonna want to do everything because this is the anniversary.
Maybe. Well, he's definitely going to do the dive over the barricade that he's doing.
He might not do it with Thunder, but he'll pick somebody to get all this shit in.
I think the best possible outcome of this match is that Marco and Rush just randomly turn on Thunder halfway through and walk out.
Okay.
But that's probably not going to happen. It's a match. It's a match I don't care about joining many other matches on the show. Someone will win. They'll follow up with a main event with these guys next week, and it won't be any good.
Mm-hmm. The best possible outcome maybe is setting up Rush versus Volador Jr.
Yeah.
But I have no faith in CML doing that.
They kind of have. They kind of should, because they have nothing else to do since both of their rivals have been fired. But who knows?
I thought this would be a good hair match for next year, but maybe they'll have other options as we come to the main event.
Yes, because this is the big one. This is the one that's the press of the mission, because nothing else is the press of the mission. It's Atlantis versus Sombra in the Mask versus Match that's been built over the last two anniversaries.
We were there for the first...
It's been built over the last two anniversary shows, if you think about one way, or it's been booked over like 6 weeks of Friday nights, and just Friday nights and just 6 weeks.
Do you remember, though, they did say when they signed the contracts 2 years ago for the tag match, they said, no matter what, the losers are going to face the next year.
Yeah.
Right? And then the year after that, the two winners are going to face each other.
I don't remember that part.
I remember something about like that only one person will be left by the end of 3 years.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also...
I didn't believe it, but I remember hearing it.
If it's something they had brought up between... I'm sure they brought it up last September, the week after they would have teased Sombra and Lance. I remember something about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had brought up any time in between the 46 weeks in between.
It would be nice.
It would be nice, but that's not what happened. We have this match. I guess they were on Informa, but I didn't go back and watch that. Sombra wore his mask that he was going to wear for the match.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. At least this time, if he's going to do the white and black split mask, it won't be the first time he uses it, so it won't be a giveaway that he's not going to lose, mm-hmm. like he did in the other one. You have strong feelings about who's going to win this match.
Not really strong feelings. I picked Atlantis from the beginning, and I pick Atlantis now. I just think all the signs point towards Atlantis. And it could be a good swerve, but CMLL is usually not creative enough to do swerves. They just do the logical booking.
Their logic.
Well, their logic. But I'm not going to go through what you wrote, but you wrote it in the blog.
Yeah.
There's been no Atlantida, and Atlantis has been laid out every week. Is he just going to go out in a blaze of failure where someone's just going to beat him in it for his mask after embarrassing him for all those months?
I wrote in the blog, and magically, total magic, it was written almost the same way in today's Observer. It's just strange how that happens.
Like, you guys have the same source?
Yes. I don't know.
The thing is, also on Informa, Somer said his family's coming, right?
Yes.
Atlantis' family isn't coming, right?
As far as we know.
And they weren't there last year either.
No. But maybe Atlantis is just not close to his family, because we never see them.
Maybe, but listen, the red flags are all there, people. The dots are there to connect.
I read about this more in the Voices of Wrestling preview. That's probably going to get sent to them at some point. Maybe today, since it's Thursday, and it's kind of has to go up. But I wrote my pick, and I may change my mind on my pick before I send it to them. I'm going back and forth. First, because it makes no sense to put Sombra in this match to have him lose unless there's something else, unless there's another shoe drop that we haven't heard about yet. And no one suggested to us that there's something else going on here. I think maybe one person we talked to actually knows the finish. Everyone else is just speculating. But there are a lot of people, it seems like 50-50, about people taking Atlantis or people taking Sombra from people we've talked to.
I think more people going into the match over the past couple weeks were more like 80% Atlantis is losing.
Yeah.
But as time gets closer, it's getting closer to 50-50, like you said. Because a lot of the red flags are up there.
Yeah, we were talking to someone who pointed out the exact same things we were pointing out about being one-sided. So I think I really want Sombra to win. So
I'll be cheering Sombra to win. Don't get me wrong. I think Atlantis is winning, but I'll be cheering it.
Okay, Sombra. Here's the big question I have. You know how they've had Atlantis have a singer sing his music down to the ring at times? Mm-hmm. I think even last year, Versus Show, they might have done that. You know, on the New Japan shows, they've had Tanahashi accompanied by a famous guitarist whose name I can't remember. Or Minoru Suzuki's having his song sung by the original performer. Can they get Nelly?
Can they get Nelly for Sombra?
Can they get Nelly? Because, I mean, at one point he was singing Country Grammar, and now he's probably playing Country Fairs. So I think he probably would be available.
It'll be interesting to see what he does use. What outfit, what entrance he uses, because it's going to be his biggest entrance ever.
Yeah, it's going to be his biggest match. I know Negro Casas, who's in the Pointless match, was telling someone that he's going to have a new outfit just for this match.
So. If you remember the Volador Jr. mask match from 2 years ago, neither him nor Sombra did big entrances.
Right.
They just came out because it was their second entrance of the night.
Yeah. So, well, Sombra had his new mask, but that was about it.
That's it. Yeah. They just came out with their dads.
Yeah. And I'm assuming his dad is going to be there too, because he posted that big... this is the other red flag. I thought they posted a Instagram photo of him with his wrestling family, and one of the guys there is the new Brillante Jr., who has about the same mask. Mm-hmm. So he can almost like pass it down even if he doesn't have it anymore.
And there's actually there's no hints going forward, because both Sombra and Atlantis are working pointless matches coming up in the days afterwards.
Yeah.
Like Atlantis has one title match and one singles match, and Sombra's working pointless trios matches on a Tuesday and the Sunday.
The good thing about CML is that there's no long-term booking, so you can't give things away.
Right. They recently they've changed their formula to now people are getting title shots who either haven't been in a match the previous week or got cleanly pinned without even being interacting with the person who they're challenging.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fine, but it's kind of ruining what we know CML to be, because we can usually... Like, last week in Puebla, we saw Místico and Rey Scorpion feuding, so we penciled in 2 weeks from now, Místico versus Rey Scorpion. All of a sudden, they're in the same match on Monday, And apparently now it's Atlantis versus Mystical Rey of Scorpion somehow.
I mean, this whole month, a whole couple of months, seems like CML's more disorganized than even usual. And those little things are showing that there's no one doing quality control to keep everything together. I think that's the issue with this match too, because Atlantis does very basic stuff well, or at least good, mm-hmm. and Samba does very complicated stuff good. And I'm not, their styles don't mesh as well as Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero, so it's going to be tough to figure out how this match is going to go.
I think the crowd is going to be pro-Atlantis, though.
Yeah, the crowd's going to be pro-Atlantis. I mean, Samba returned because the crowd turned on him 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and now he's a Rudo, and he's going to be a Rudo anyways.
So. Actually, he's a technical on Tuesday, but default technical.
Yeah.
Because Pestanegra will be the technicals.
So, I mean, I think this is the most interesting match because I think we both could see it going either way, and we don't know exactly how the match itself is going to work.
Mm-hmm. So. I think they're going to do an interference spot with La Mascara. That's why he's not booked.
Yeah.
I think they'll definitely do a near fall spot, which will make the crowd so happy, by the way.
Yeah.
Where La Mascara will jump in from the crowd, hit the backstabber on Atlantis. Sombra will cover. 1-2. And it'll be a kick out. I don't think Mano Negro is getting involved.
My most reliable prediction is that Tarantes will be the referee. And it'll be absurdly slow on many counts.
Yeah.
To the point of annoying anyone who buys the pay-per-view.
They could do Baby Richard too, though. He was the referee for Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero.
That's true. But they've been giving Tarantes all the big matches.
Mm. And Tarantes is terrible. Well, I'll see him all
right. Yeah, it's like there's not a good choice there.
Yeah.
So, that's the show.
Maybe they should have had Mano Negro referee.
No, he was terrible too.
Yeah, he was awful in Toro X Toro.
I've not seen Tierra Vento y Frugo referee, but maybe he's fine.
I'm guessing no.
No. He's got a ranch, that's all I know. So, that's our kind of preview of the show. I'm going to have something up at some point, someplace, if I can be exact about that. You wanted to talk about Heroes of Marshallies too, while we're at it?
Because
we don't know we're going to talk about that. Lineup looks good. Lineup looks like it has absolutely nothing to do with most anything going on TV. It looks like the tag team program is the ceremonial one program we're doing on TV that's building to anything. Otherwise, I mean, Alberto hasn't been on since the last show. He may not be on to the next big show, depending on how busy he is with other stuff. But Alberto and Johnny Mundo was good every time they did in Lucha Underground, and there's no reason it shouldn't be good again.
In his hometown, there's no reason it should be super heated.
Yeah. You could see them having Johnny Mundo win because Alberto loses in the hometown all the time. But I think you might as well just have Alberto be the champion because...
If you take the title off him, might as well save it up for a future match. Why?
Yeah.
Not, listen, they did Cage versus Alberto, what, like 4 times?
Yes.
So there's no reason why Mundo needs to do a one-off.
Yeah.
The opener is the 5 women. 2 of them are mystery.
Yeah.
It's Goya challenging with Hiedra against the champion, Taya Valkyrie.
Yes.
This is her first ever defense, right?
Yes.
Since she won it 2 years ago at Triple Mania.
1 year.
Well, last year.
Yeah. Last year, yeah.
So last year at Triple Mania. And
there's a mystery person on the mystery woman on the Monterey show, so it's probably...
Which is this Sunday, so we'll find out at least one person.
Yeah, we think so.
And then there's a second mystery, who I think is going to be an American girl.
Yeah. It's probably because it's a big AAA show, it's probably leaning towards a foreign person. It's weird that Triple Mania is a show that doesn't have the mystery people this year, and every other show has the mystery people. Or it has random fly-ins or whatever.
It's also weird that, like, they're setting it up where Ty is defending and is either going to lose the title on her first defense, or she's going to retain it, and they're going to have Goya fail in her first try, and a new debuting person and a new debuting foreigner all fail on their first try. It just seems like a weird match in general. I'm assuming Taya's going to retain because Taya is Taya.
Yeah.
And she loves posing for pictures with that belt. I can't imagine they're going to take it off her.
So it's a match where they probably are better off. If we want to overthink the opener women's match, it's probably a match where they're best doing a single pinfall. So
yeah, so everybody saves face.
So Taya pins.
And it's also good because it saves us from Goya versus Taya.
Yeah.
Which would be new levels of atrocious.
Yes, that's a good thing, is that whoever these mystery people are, they are not Goya Kong, so if Tyra has to do a program, she has to do a program with other people.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, throw names in the hat, you might pull one who's better out than Goya. You might not.
They could throw Goya the title, though, because I can't imagine Goya went to AAA to team with Nino Hamburguesa in matches all the time.
Yeah, but they gave her Triple Mania, so that maybe just that's enough for her right now.
I hope so. I'm not a huge fan.
Second match. What is the second match?
Is second that, match is...
Is that Drago and Phoenix?
No, there's before that is that's the tag titles is the second match.
So that's... So
the three win.
They have another tag match that's above the tag title match.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guarantee you. That on the poster release, it's listed above.
I know, but we need to reinforce that concept of how little sense it makes. Tag title match is Leader and Pentagon versus Angelico and Jack Evans versus Daga and Sue Payne. They did the briefest tease of an issue between Payne Daga and Leader and Pentagon.
Because they cost them the match by accident.
Yeah, and then...
In Tehuacan.
And then Daga was trying to calm them down. And so that'll probably be the entire full lead-up angle. Jack is a big fan of this match.
They taped stuff in at the resort.
Right, yeah.
Where they had stuff going on.
I don't know if they had stuff going on. They taped stuff.
They had Pentagon and Leader in the same match. Oh, no, but that was with La Secta.
Yeah.
Or I don't even know now. Okay. Well, we'll see, but...
Yeah, because Daga and Payne weren't on those tapings.
If it was up to me, I would give Jack and Angelico those belts back as fast as humanly possible, because they shouldn't have even lost them in the first place.
Yeah, it looks like completely pointless that they lost those belts, especially...
But I could see Daga and Payne getting the belts.
Especially, you know, I'm sure at the time that they were doing... Pentagon Leader was Mrs.
and Phoenix,
and that never went anywhere at all. And since it was just, but they're gonna keep, those two teams are gonna keep on facing each other with their team, so it almost doesn't matter which of those two teams has it.
I wouldn't be shocked if like Garrett de Titanis has these exact same teams, and then they toss in La Secta, make it a 4-1.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise if Daga and Payne, if they're really serious about getting Daga and Payne in further off as a group, they probably should win something for once.
Yeah, I would get the belts off Pentagon and Leader no matter what, because Pentagon does not need to be wasted in these second match tag team title matches.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to be wasted teaming with Joe Leader. Yeah. Although even if they do lose the belts, I imagine they'll still be teaming.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, I just hope they get the belts off of them. I don't care which other team it goes to.
Third match is a completely pointless...
And I'm sorry, Jack, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
I feel your pain.
Yeah. I don't even want to count how many he's doing in a row. I think it's like 5.
Which, it's the strangest thing, though, because you remember last year there was a great tag match with Angelico and Jack against Daga and Steve Payne.
Yeah.
And it was a straight tag match, and that was the only chance they ever got to do a straight tag match with those belts. Every other match was, like, mixed with other people.
That's because they have too many people. They have too many good people, and they want to fit them all on the card. And
it's a default thing. We've got to get more people on the card. Okay.
Yeah, and we can't do more than 6 matches for whatever reason. But we do matches like Drago and Phoenix versus Brian Cage and Macias. So I think the only story we get from this is that Brian Cage is still going to be around, even though he has no obvious role at this point.
I'm actually excited for this match because they're all Lucha Underground guys.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're heading in a new direction here, because I'd love to see a new direction where Phoenix gets to work with people, maybe Drago gets to work with people. And it seems like Macias is better when he's working with Lucha Underground people instead of the usual AAA. Like at Triple Mania, Macias was the dirt worst. He was awful. But now against these guys, he's got no excuse.
He's had a lot of... Because it's been Phoenix and Macias on opposite sides of tag matches with Cage and Alberto or other people. And they've... Or Ray and Macias. And they've worked really good against each other. I don't know much about Drago and Cage are going to work as well together. But that should be a good match, even if it has no reason, even if they don't remember to go anything from that.
As far as matches that have no reason to exist, I'd rather it be a good match like this than like a Triple Mania where there were 3 matches that had no reason for existing and ended up being awful. This is like, if you're going to put matches that have no reason to happen, or maybe this is going to lead somewhere, make it a good match. That's all we ask for. That's all we ask for at Triple Mania.
The fourth match is the Copa de Tenerife with about 12 different people, all people who are better off being in the Battle Royal than another match, or some people like Hiode, Peralta Morgan, who have nothing better to do.
Arrow Stars in here.
This is a match where where someone wins and they get treated to like a big deal, and then it's just listed on the graphic right next year.
Who won last year?
Mysticis. You beat Pentagon in the end.
Oh, right, that's right.
Because they had that one had good spots with Suicide.
Last year's match was good because Phoenix was in it for a long time.
Yeah.
This year's probably going to follow the same format. They'll send Aerostar out there first. He'll work with Pirata Jr. They'll do some cool stuff. Chessman will get in there. Whoever else is in it will get in there.
They'll fill up the ring with everyone before eliminating anyone.
Right.
Because that's what they do every time.
And it'll come down to the stars.
Yeah.
I mean, without going too much into the politics, this screams like a match where one of the big stars will go complain before the show saying, I haven't won anything this year, so I need to win this. And they'll give it to like either La Parca or Cibernetico.
Yeah, it could be one of those. I was thinking Demon too, even though Demon just got the award last year.
But Demon got his award at Triple Mania.
Yeah.
If I had to pick somebody, I would pick La Parca.
It could be. He's won this quite a few times.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Let him have. The good thing is, and the good thing with recent AAA booking, I don't know if you'd agree with me, is that they're putting the shit in this one match on the show.
Yeah.
And they're keeping the rest of the show, like La Parca's teaming with the clowns on upcoming shows.
Yes, that's so great.
That is perfectly acceptable. Fine. I will go get a drink. They can have their match. I will come back and I will enjoy the rest of the show.
Who's the best worker on that trio?
Probably Monster.
Is it Monster? Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
That's not good.
No.
So that's a match that people will fast forward to, except for me. So I'll have to write down times for some reason, even though no one cares. But it will happen, and then it'll be over. And then there'll be the main event, which is...
No, the semi-main event.
The semi-main event.
What's Ray Jr.
Oh, yeah, Ray Jr. And...
And Psycho Clown and a mystery partner against Mysticis, Phantasma, and...
Tejano. And Phantasma and Tejano are in the kind of Phil and Rudos, wherever they need them at this point, which is kind of disappointing for them, but...
I think the mystery partner is going to make a lot of people happy. I'm not sure who it is. Don't get me wrong. I'm just guessing. But I think it's not going to be like a letdown.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be somebody who sets up future. Because if you saw the AAA tapings coming out in October, they have two mystery slots.
And this will probably...
We didn't even mention in Copa Antonio Peña, there's a mystery guy.
Yeah.
We don't know who that's going to be either. It might tie into the October tapings. It might not.
It might be just some... I mean, there's no local like they could put in there, but it might be someone.
Could be anybody. It could be Alberto's little brother. Who knows?
Yeah. That would kind of make sense. But he would have to come over his crippling injury that he surely has.
So this is going to be a mystery partner. It's the feuding guys.
Yeah, it's the feuding guys. So that means, I mean, the best possible thing for Tejano to get out of this kind of loss in the shuffle thing would be to go right back to Psycho Clown and they can feud again.
The only guy who's missing is like Viano. If we assume Viano 4 is feuding with Psycho Clown.
If we assume.
But they might have changed things up.
But that's one of those things that have just disappeared since Triple Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And we assume that, so that would leave the Mystery Technico, who's probably the same Mystery of Technico on the other shows, against Phantasma, which...
And Phantasma holds the Cruiserweight title.
So that would be something for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
The real purpose of this match, though, is to keep the Mysterio Mysticis thing going without having to do another singles match and having either guy get pinned.
And their first match on TV was really good, with Mysticis as the Rudo.
So I'm sure we're going to get a lot of this to stretch us out, because there are... I would be surprised if we get that match again before Triple Mania.
Going forward, the feud seemed to be on the TV tapings in October. We've got Rey and Psycho against Mundo and Mysticis.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're pairing up Psycho with Mundo and Rey with Mysticis.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
I don't want to make a prediction here because who knows?
That kind of makes me, to go to the main event, think that reason for Mundo not to win, because if he doesn't have a title, then he could challenge and make more sense for him to challenge Psycho Clown.
Psycho has a title.
Yeah, so they could do that program instead, and that works better if Mundo's not champion. Because the Psycho beating Mundo, even after Alberto does, would mean a lot for Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a good guru of the Titans. Or even if they did, even if it was just in the middle of a tag match and they worked together to get people to think of Psycho on that level, it would help him.
Overall, though, a much, much better lineup than Triple Mania.
Yeah.
There's not going to be on iPay-per-view.
There's going to be... Oh, it hasn't been advertised yet. So
I think they said court ruled it out, right?
It's not going to be on regular pay-per-view, but they can still do it. I checked the iPay-per-view site they use, and they haven't put it. They're still in the Triple Mania iPay-per-view, so who knows? That's also with them. It's something that we might not find out until October, even though the show's October 4th.
October 4th? The same weekend I come back?
Yeah, so it might be October 1st that we find out.
Wow, that really seems like I'm going to be here a long time.
Yeah.
The weekend I come back is going to be this show.
So... Yeah, so it's a good show. There are matches that are guaranteed to be good.
Yeah.
And
which is the way shows should be.
So we're happy with that. I think we're even more happy with the TV lineups. They've all been
They've got Speedball Mike Bailey coming in next month, which was revealed by the cards. They've got a couple mystery guys who are definitely going to be attractions for non-Mexican fans.
They've got Speedball advertised. With AAA, I wait till people show up.
Ah, he'll show up. This is a good break for him, and it's good that he's going to get the exposure. I think he's going to fit in well. I really like all those October lineups coming up, and they're going to have so much TV in the can. They're not even going to need to tape in November, just once maybe.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule. They're pretty far advanced. Those Nuevo Laredo tapings are all five matches, so they could be just one show. So, the thing about that is they're running far more tapings than they were in the first half of the year for whatever reason. So that
this is their busiest month, right? Because October 4th, San Luis Potosí, October 9th, Tlahuilopan, 17th, 19th, and then they've got another show at the end of October, right?
I think so. They haven't announced anything yet. But they have the Monterrey show.
And if the Monterrey show is going to be sitting in the can.
Yeah.
And that's a two-week show, I think. There's that five matches.
No, that's 2 weeks.
So they're loaded up.
Yeah. There might be something else in there, too. Or I'm guessing there might be something else in there, too. But that's a lot of shows. They will hopefully run some angles to set up Guerrero the Titans on the Heroes from Martellus, since we only seem to get the angles on the major shows. But that makes the TV work out okay. So we're looking forward to that.
We're definitely being more positive than we were the last time we discussed AAA on this podcast.
I wonder if people will pick up on that. Maybe, maybe not.
You should, because if you haven't seen the recent Tehuacan show, you should. Both weeks that aired on TV were excellent.
Yeah, and it's on their YouTube channel, so you can actually watch it in better quality.
Really good trios match with Aerostar and Steve Payne in it. And just this past week, they had another good trios match with Australian Suicide. Anybody remember him? He's fantastic. And Machine Rocker. And the main event with Ray Jr. and Phoenix against Mysticis and Messias. Definitely go out of your way to see that one.
Yeah, the disappointing thing about the trios match is I think it was maybe 90% as good as Dragon Lee and Kamatayachi, but it got like 5% of the notice from people outside of us, which was, I think the views on it aren't too bad, but they're like one third of the title match, if even that much. But maybe people will pick it up later. Maybe it'll make it onto the Voice of Wrestling Bowl.
This podcast.
No.
I saw Joe or somebody, Joe or Rich, one of them was looking for random matches to review today.
Oh, yeah.
I was so busy. I was going to link them to the AAA match.
He reviewed the Dragon Lee commentator match, but he also reviewed it as more of a statement about other things, which kind of disappointed me.
But you disappointed my friend. Yeah. I am blocking you on Twitter immediately.
That's a good way to end this podcast.
Yes, we'll block someone with anger. Another.
Yeah. So we will be back Friday. We're friends. Yeah, because we probably won't do another, unless we're just really bored Friday afternoon, probably not do another podcast.
I don't think so.
So we'll probably be back after our anniversary show. Good luck to everyone buying in on iPay-per-view. I'm crossing my fingers that this works. But I am also, when I write this preview, I'm going to say, be very careful if you're going to buy this, because there are other options, and I don't know if this is going to work. And I led people astray. Even I thought it was negative on the Triple Mania pay-per-view, but I convinced people to buy the show.
Yeah.
I don't want to accidentally do that.
You're
this time.
Responsible for like 5,000 buys.
Yes. Yeah.
I do want to make one prediction while I can, so that I seem like I know what I'm talking about. I think the way CML is doing it is because they have this weird mailing list associated with their iPay-per-view that seems to send out messages even if you haven't bought the show. I think they're doing it on YouTube and they're making the link private. And the day of the show, they're going to send out the private link to everybody on the mailing list, hopefully just to those who have bought the show and not the entire mailing list. But either way, I think that that's how they're doing it. They're sending out a private YouTube link. And I have a feeling that somebody's going to get that private YouTube link and immediately go to Twitter and post it for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not telling you not to buy the show, but I'm also saying this is how it could go down, and you may end up getting it for free.
I think Alfredo said that if you log in, if you buy the show and log in the site, there is, you can see they have past shows, but the past shows they all have are the YouTube shows.
Yeah.
Which is a bad sign. If they're doing it on YouTube, it's going to be real easy for someone to pass it along. So
a link. And if
the other... if they're doing it on YouTube, this kills me. Then they have on demand right there for them.
Right. I don't get that.
They don't know what they're doing. More than the red flags in the mass match, there are red flags in this iPay-per-view. Yeah. this is not going to end well.
And the other way they could do it is just by doing it unlisted, where you have to send the link to people one by one.
That's the way I'm used to. Which seems like
disaster in the making, because one typo, it doesn't go to the person who ordered it, and then you have to deal with refunds and everything. And, but it also shows that not many people are buying it if you're sending it out one by one, links to people.
I'm sure they thought they were going to email this link on the mailing list. So there's no way, no reason for this mailing list.
But they keep saying on the mailing list that people haven't paid.
But because they didn't realize that the mailing list was going to get to people who hadn't paid when they started it. I'm pretty sure they don't know what they're doing. As all the emails I get from people who complain on that mailing list because they haven't turned it off for auto sender.
I feel bad because I admire the effort in trying this. But I also feel like if you were going to try this, maybe do a soft launch.
Yes.
As you said,
yeah,
in your words on the blog. And then also hire people who know what they're doing, because it seems like the mailing list and the whole IP preview is being run by one of the old photographers.
Yes.
Like an old guy who doesn't really know how the internet works, which is why he's emailing all the entire mailing list.
Yeah.
I just don't have faith in somebody like you should hire a professional.
Yes.
If you're going to do something like this.
This seems like... just kind of
throw it. Seems like more CMLL in-house.
Yeah.
They just randomly said, hey, does anybody want to do this? And the guy's like, well, I'll try.
Yeah. So, well, we tried here.
Yes. Kind of like this podcast. We tried.
It was probably not any good either, but we tried. We will talk to you again. So we'll do another one.
After the anniversary.
Anniversary, and then we'll figure out what we're doing from there. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
For all five of you who listen to this podcast, thank you for listening. Tell someone else that this is not a terrible thing to listen to, and we will talk to you again soon.